I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross. Tiffany Cross. Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to Across Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Start up, start up. Startup Brooklyn boys. Startup Brooklyn boys. Startup, startup, startup. They making noise. Startup. Startup, 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 startup.
Episode 290 of the Brooklyn Boys podcast. What's going on?
Hello.
Scary Jones. That's David Brody.
Yep.
First time listener. Come on.
Welcome aboard.
Come on. It would be nice to know that with every episode we've gained another 10, 20, 150, 1,000 listeners. Wouldn't that be awesome?
It would be. And I'd like the three or four people that leave us every episode or every few episodes to just, you know, give us a parting gift on your way out. Let us know what happened. Your life changed, your commute changed, you know.
Yeah.
It happens.
We're on a stretch of really dreary weather here in the Northeast the last few days. It's been a monsoon. I'm so angry because I'm supposed to go to the Met game tonight. Courtesy of Elvis Duran and his husband, Alex.
Yep.
Dude.
Yep. Upper deck seats, right?
I was about to say, when Elvis Duran goes out to the ball game, Elvis Duran goes out to the ball game. I mean, he pulls no punches. I mean, he buys.
He even pays a guy to sit next to him to explain what's going on.
I tell you, we were supposed to go and we were supposed to explore all that wonderful food. These were the TV seats. He got us. He bought us TV seats. The 50 seats that on every baseball game. There's only like about a few seats that you see on television.
You and I get seats off to the left of the TV screen.
Right.
He got them in the middle.
Right near in the center.
Right.
So I was so. I was going to say stoked. What year is this? I was so
pumped,
stoked.
You know, pumped. Amped.
Pumped. Amped. Juiced.
It was a vibe
for this and the debut of the 2024 Citi Field food lineup, which includes Brody. It should be
rainbow
illegal
cookies, rainbow cookie egg rolls,
a rainbow cookie egg roll from Walk and Roll.
Yeah, I hear they slay.
The rainbow cookie is, if you're, you know, that's we're talking about that 7-layer Italian cookie that is the first one to be removed.
Total vibe. Yeah,
the one. You know, the whole stack of Italian cookies comes out in the cellophane. They open the cellophane, and all four of them that are there are gone immediately because everyone goes for the rainbow cookie, the 7-layer, whatever you want to call it. Anyway, they have this cookie to visualize it to the slices. It's a 7-layer, the rainbow Italian cookie
inside an egg roll
and circled shell. In an egg roll. So the cross cut is a fried egg roll shell and with the cookie inside.
Yeah.
Oh!
First quarter is a second quarter scary.
Yeah. Coming alive. They do. Yeah. Adam Richman, isn't he a former Brooklyn guy? Isn't he a Brooklyn guy?
He worked at Red Robin with me.
Red Robin.
Adam Richman had been to my house for some house parties that my roommate threw.
A Brooklyn guy.
I reached out to him. He didn't remember me or that ever happening, but he did. He worked there.
well, Food Network guy. He's got some food in there, as well as, I think, Chef Ann Burrell. David Chang, is he, or is that Yankee Stadium? That might be the Momofuku guy. Is it Yankee Stadium?
Oh, whoa, watch your mouth.
Momofuku, the fried chicken sandwich, famous. These are all Food Network things. Anyway, I'm a foodie. Yeah. I love this shit, and I couldn't wait.
By the way, eating a lot of food doesn't make you a foodie, but go on.
Yeah, but knowing the chefs who are behind these
dishes.
It
makes you a chefy.
A chefy?
A chefy.
Okay.
I knew a lot of the chefs. I used to work for Jeffrey Zakarian. I know food. I know an Iron Chef. Uh-huh. I'm friends with Bobby Flay. You ever meet Bobby Flay?
No, never heard of him. So
I love Bobby.
So yeah, I mean, I was ready. I was so excited. And by the way, there's a whole list of foods. We're not going to go into it. But anyway.
No, don't sleep on the other stuff either. It's fantastic.
But that was going to be the move. It was going to be no game tonight.
And there's no makeup. Well, there's a makeup, but not with your tickets. They don't count towards tomorrow's doubleheader.
So that's my question. We came to the conclusion that as a result of the rain out tonight, and I was...
any game you want, but a Yankee game.
Well, hold on a second. Mets Yankee. No. They get the vouchers. You know, Alex, Elvis's husband, gets the voucher for a future game of his choice.
But he doesn't necessarily have to take you. He could take Elvis and one other person.
Or does he? That's my question, Brody.
No, he doesn't. In fact, he has three vouchers. He can go three different games by himself if he wants. Now.
I know. I see myself.
There's no guarantee. You didn't own that ticket. You never got the ticket.
I know. I was invited to this game here on Wednesday, April 3rd.
Right. Do you realize you need to be nice to Alex at least until you arrive at your next game with these tickets?
No.
Not that you wouldn't be nice to Alex anyway.
I mean, it's a quandary. No, I mean, he don't owe me anything, really, if you think about it. But
no.
What's the proper etiquette here, Brody?
The etiquette is you need to be nice to him so that he says, well, I was going to take Skiri to the game. I'll continue to take him.
No, but do you think
But you wait until like one of his friends is like, that sounds like fun. I'd love to go. Like, all right, Josh, you're in. Not Coaster Boy Josh, different Josh. Josh could go to the game instead of you. You're not guaranteed anything.
They may have been asking me because...
Dana wants to go to a game?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm fucked.
Right. I'm not going to keep mentioning names of people, but they have a lot of friends.
They got a lot of friends.
Elvis and Alex have a lot of close friends.
If he decides, you know what?
A work associate.
I want to use these three vouchers in June. And hey, guess what? Oh, my best friend, Marissa has, I'm just making a name. Marissa has off. Hey, Marissa.
What if it's during vacation or when you're away or you have an appearance that night?
Well, you know me. I always have shit.
Gotta be at Dream Mall. The Dream, what is it?
American Dream.
Not a mall. American Dream. Don't call it a mall. Don't call it a comeback. By the way, speaking of song lyrics, did you see the video I sent you about the Kesha song? She's like, wake up in the morning feeling like P. Diddy. And then the cops bust in. I sent you that. You didn't see it yet?
Not yet. I haven't opened it yet.
It's a video of Kesha singing from her video.
Yeah.
And then a clip of cops busting down the door.
I don't know if I'm certainly not entitled to the ticket, but
no, you're not. You've acted appreciative.
I'm exposed here because something tells me that, you know, if they plan it on a day that I'm not available, then I'm just going to be shit out of luck. And then just go on to the next person to go to the game.
Yep. 100%.
Oh, so
you're
close.
You're lucky you got invited this time. You may not get invited the second time.
I know. Damn it.
Looking forward to seeing you on TV.
Anyway. All right. So we'll do that. We'll go to another game, I guess.
All right. Hey, by the way, I did a shout out last week that I needed people to follow me on TikTok because I need to get to 1,000 followers so I can go live and do more things on TikTok. And I want to thank the 40 of you that did that for me. Mm-hmm. That was very nice of you, including Juan Vasquez, Millennial Trucker, Benjamin Dover. Dover. A lot of people were kind enough to follow me. Rockin' Steve followed me. Thank you, Rockin' Steve. But of the...
Rockin' Steve is going to leave some expletives in your comments.
Well, I watched a couple of his videos. He's the real deal, man. He is who he says he is. He's definitely an animated character. But I would like a little more of the minions, the thousands of slices, tens of thousands of slices.
Minions? What's a minion?
Minions, yeah.
That's a derogatory term.
Absolutely not. It's not a minion.
I'm David Brody, and you all are my minions.
If you're Jewish, a minion is part of a prayer circle. It just means followers, friends. It means people close to you.
Really?
You're using it in a different term. You're using it to say minions like peasants.
My minions.
No, I'm not using it that way. Slices. Either you're not on TikTok. You haven't heard me ask last week because you're behind a few episodes.
So,
but I could use the help out. David Brody 12 on TikTok.
I could use the help as well. Skiri, at Skiri Jones. Please follow me on TikTok.
You have like 26 followers. What do you have?
Not many, man. I got to up my TikTok game. Yeah, I don't have a lot. Is it time to like move over from Instagram to TikTok as my main?
No,
no.
Twitter is. I have something like 46,000 followers on Twitter, which is not a lot. And I've lost a bunch since I'm not on the show anymore. And that's whatever it is.
Why would people do that? They would just say, you know what? Out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah, but I used to tweet, and I would get 1,000 impressions. You know, 30 comments, 20 comments, whatever.
Yeah.
Now it's like you tweet, 500 people see it, 300 people see it.
You're on the other side of the hill, David Brody.
I'm not on the other side of the hill, Slice. Twitter is on the other side of the hill.
Now you're finally coming to my side. What did I tell you? No. Twitter is dead.
Hold on. I love Twitter for information. I love Twitter for reading posts. But as far as posting and interacting, the interactions are down unless you are, there's way too much bots. Twitter sluts that have, and again, they all have 4,500 followers and under 100 people following them.
That Twitter
ship. They must be the same accounts that just follow each other's lists.
Twitter ship has sailed, in my opinion, but that's just my opinion.
Well, Tesla stock is down big time this month. Their profits are down 15%.
Right.
So Elon's not having a good couple of months.
No.
Poor guy. What's he going to do with his 100 billion instead of 101 billion?
Anyway. We got to take a quick break, but
no,
I caught Brody doing something really, really salacious and shady at my house. Brody came over my house.
I did.
And I saw you with your fucking phone out in my bathroom.
You didn't see me in the bathroom because the door was closed.
No.
Unless you have a camera in there.
No, you came out of my bathroom and you turned the corner and your phone was in your hand. We'll get into this next. Hold on.
Hold, yeah, we'll discuss this. It's the Brooklyn Boys
Podcast. Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think we should start off by saying that I was at your house on Monday, April 1st.
That's right.
That is a big part of this story.
But and this is not an April Fool's joke, nor was that.
But it's involved in an April Fool's joke, 100%.
Right. But you... So we'll get to the why he was here in a second. But my first question is, when you come out of a bathroom holding a phone, I think that's disgusting because to me, all that means is... You went in the bathroom. You did something weird with your phone, or you're holding your phone and it's unsanitary. So I feel like your phone should be in your pocket for the time that you're
in.
So you've never
walked into the bathroom with your phone, put it down on the counter,
never
peed, and then washed your hands and picked your phone back up.
Oh, disgusting!
How is that disgusting?
Gross.
Your hands touched everything I just mentioned.
No,
I put the phone down on your sink counter.
The phone should be
counter gross.
The phone should be in your pocket. You go into a bathroom. Phone
so you never
pocket.
Look at your phone when you're on the toilet. You never scroll and poop. You never get on the phone. I've been on the phone with you when you've been in the bathroom. Who are you kidding?
No. Hold on a second. Wait. Let's back
this
up.
Let me rethink my life.
If I go to a public restroom, like at work.
Not a public, your friend's bathroom.
Anywhere. I don't feel the need to pull my phone out of my pocket if I'm in a rush. It's just weird. I don't think... The main thing I do when I'm sitting on a toilet.
Yeah.
If I'm taking a dump,
Yeah, you're
I'm opening. That's when I open my mail. To me, I fucking hate mail. I hate mail, so I let my mail stack up. Hold on a second. Stack up for about a week or so.
On your table.
Wherever. Yeah. And then if I'm going into the bathroom, I need to pass some time. I take the stack of mail. I have a garbage pail next to the toilet, and I start opening up envelopes, and I start reading things, and I'm like, oh, rip this up, throw this out, okay. And most of it goes in the garbage because paper mail, aside from a check that they're handing me if I have to cash a check, which is very rare, doesn't need to be opened, doesn't need to be opened anywhere else. It's a waste of time.
It's a question that slices are screaming at their phones at right now.
Right.
So... Mail originates either from a person who touches the mail, handles the mail, licks the envelope, right? Licks a stamp. Then the mail goes to the post office where 100 people touch it and fondle it with their dirty hands.
Yeah.
Then it goes through dirty machines. Then a mail carrier with his bare hands, his or her bare hands,
yeah.
touches your mail.
Okay.
Puts it in your dirty mailbox.
Still got
then
no problem.
Take it, yeah. You take it, that dirty infested mail that's been all over the country and everyone's touched it. You touch it, then you touch your dick to pee and wipe and your ass, and you think that's more sanitary than taking out your own phone, putting it down on a clean porcelain counter, which is not porous and doesn't have germs in it, washing your hands and picking your phone up again. You think you're in better shape.
Well, I think that if I'm opening my mail, my hands are becoming
stanky,
dirty. Okay, great. The next thing I do is wipe my ass. And right after that,
you have to pee?
No, you don't
touch your dick at all? Never?
Not really.
To pee?
But I'm wiping my ass and then I wash my hands. And I hit the reset button. My hands were dirty already. My hands are about to get dirty. You know, so what's
so
the
you
difference?
You sit down in the toilet with dirty hands, you infest them with mail infestation, and then you touch your private areas with mail dirt. But I'm the problem because I touched my phone after I washed my hands.
I just thought it was gross. What were you doing in the bathroom with your phone out?
My phone was out on the table when we were signing shirts and hats and oh my.
Which leads us to that part of the conversation.
I walked into the bathroom with my phone out. I have a giant Galaxy phone. I'm not going to put it in my pocket to open my pants. So I put it on the counter because you were distracted. So when I came back out, I knew I would have time to be on the phone.
I pull my pants down with my phone in the pocket and that's where it stays. What do you have to take your phone out of your pocket
because
to pull
the
your pants
pocket
down?
Flaps fall down and the phone jumps out sometimes.
It never happens to me.
Okay.
But anyway, what were you doing in the phone?
I'll be honest with you. I took the camera out to take a picture of your sink. And I was going to take a picture of all your bougie toiletries as a bit. So let's talk about the crack in your sink. Scary asked me like 3 years ago what it would cost to redo his bathroom because it was falling apart. It was old and outdated. And it looks like 1978. It's all browns and yellows. It's like the Brady Bunch. Anyway. I happened to notice there's a giant, like, 7-inch crack in his sink.
In the sink.
And I looked at it. What?
Oh, in the white, along the white part of the bowl of the
sink.
Yeah.
The countertop's not the sink. People know what a sink is. Okay. There's a giant crack in the sink. So I assume Scary knows about the crack.
Of course I do.
And under the sink, he doesn't have a pedestal sink. He's got a sink with a cabinet. It's in storage. So I open the cabinet up and I see this toilet paper right under the crack. So I know it's April 1st. I walk out because I have to go put money in my meter. I have to go downstairs. I say, hey, Scary, listen, I'm going to put money in my meter because it's in the cars outside. I got to go add time to the whatever. And just so you know, I'm sure you know this, but I heard a dripping sound in your sink and it's dripping. And I open your cabinet and all the toilet paper rolls are wet. I said, how long has that crack been there? And he's like, oh, the housekeeper cracked it.
Check
I go, well, you have water under the sink. He's like, no fucking way. And he ran into the bathroom. So I, as he's running into the bathroom, I go out to put money in the meter. And then I get a text message. You're a dick.
Yeah, because he was fucking
totally fell for it.
Well, all right. Well, here's why I fell for it.
Because you're an April Fool.
No, because a long time ago. Well, not a long time ago.
A galaxy far, far away.
No. I'm going to go back a few months.
Luke, I cracked your sink.
The part where there was a flood under my sink and everything got soaking wet and I had to take everything out, throw three quarters of the shit away, wipe the bottom. It was a nightmare.
So it was a good April Fool's joke.
No, because the sink, the water was caught in the, where's the part where it curves up? That thing got loose or something. Water was leaking out of that thing and I had to have my guys come up and they had to take care of it and they had to like put some caulk in there. I don't know, what do you put the white putty shit, whatever, glue?
Yeah.
Whatever. He goes, that'll never happen again. So I fast forwarded to in my mind, I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, is it happening again? So yeah, but the crack is cosmetic. It's not going to affect anything underneath.
But you still went in there to check.
Well, I did because I thought maybe something gave way. I don't know. That's why I looked, and I did fall for it.
How do you not know what that curved pipe is called?
What do you call that thing?
It's a macaroni pipe.
Is that right?
Yes, because it looks like elbow macaroni. That's
where
the name comes from.
I didn't know that. I'm not a plumber. Anyway.
All right.
So my cleaning lady, I felt so bad. Estella, she's like, she cracked. I have like one of those giant soap dispensers.
How many Estellas do you have?
Estella. It's made.
Oh, they said Estella. Like with Estella.
Made of it's made like a big marble friggin' heavy soap dispenser. She was cleaning the sink one day, and it slipped out of her hands and went and it bashed the sink. So rock
but
paper scissors.
If she was on her phone.
Anyway, the marble was more durable than the sink. I learned really quickly. So yeah, so that
the sink is the curved part where the water goes right.
The basin of the sink, you know what I'm talking about. Anyway, fucking, that hasn't been repaired. But anyway,
all your money on your sound
what
system.
We're really trying to tell you here is your shirts have all been signed, your hats, and it's all been sent out. So you should be receiving them as we speak, as you're listening to this podcast, or sometime by the weekend or next week
don't,
if you're on the West Coast.
Don't try to anticipate. They went out. Wherever you live, it's this UPS ground.
Right.
It could take a month.
Right. Although I do feel bad for the people that ordered hats, not the dad hats.
Yeah, you bought the stretchy knit hats.
The knit hats.
Those are impossible to sign. I can't. First of all, there's no flat surface. And then, so we're going over each line 10 times so it shows up. But as soon as you put the hat on your head, it stretches open wide and you can't read it. So, I mean, we did our best.
Those are the
three
beanies.
People that
the
ordered hats.
The three people who ordered beanies.
They're knit hats. Yeah, the knit caps. Sorry. Yeah,
whatever they are.
We did our best.
We tried. Anyway.
Everything else was very signable.
Yes. So thank you for your orders.
I have to tell you, if I'm being honest, as much as I love the slices, I don't know if I would ever do it again. And Scary's the reason why.
Why is that?
So let me explain the process of what we had to do. Merch Matt sent a giant
Matt
box.
Matt
Merch to Scary's house. And what he did was, Matt did a great job. He labeled all of the envelopes, right? Pre-labeled all the little white packages. And the white packages are the ones that have like the plastic you peel away and then you just flip the flap over and it seals, right? You just pull the flap. You've gotten bags from Amazon where they don't open, you have to rip them apart because once that flap is down, you can't lift it. So he left them all unsealed. And then inside the bags were your order with your instructions, your item, a free Brooklyn Boys sticker sheet. Congratulations. You got a little bonus.
Complimentary.
Yep. And the bag, the plastic bag, clear plastic bag that your shirt came in. So it's a clear plastic bag, which has a fold over, tab that seals, that wasn't sealed yet. That goes in the white plastic bag that seals and then you bring it to the post office. Well, So I'm like, Scary, you could have taken them all out, signed them, and I would have picked them up at your house. No, I can't. You got to come over. So I get there. And we ordered lunch. And ordering. By the way, we'll get into how Scary ordered the food because I wanted to kill him on
the phone. That's a whole other break.
Oh, my God. So what Scary decides is he's going to move the speed of a tortoise. And I'm going to sign and package things. So we each took five bags. And I got through all five of them and pushed into his side of the table. By the way, the table... barely any room to sign because did he clear off the table? No. The stack of papers and his plant are still on the table. So there's no room to spread the sheet. So we're on a third of the table, squeezing into the edge of the round tables, the little part of the table, like a crescent, so that we can sign these shirts. So I'm like, Scary is so slow. He goes, dude, I'm being careful. I'm being careful. Scary was taking 20 seconds to make sure that the plastic on the shirt bag was perfectly folded over and all the air was pushed out. Then he has to put it into the envelope perfectly straight.
Yep.
Then he has to take the white bag with the envelope, the outer bag, peel the paper off and then fold the flap over straight. So I'm going through the shirts and the hats and everything the tank tops like crazy. And he's like, have you ever seen the show Monk? He's all of a sudden, he's Adrian Monk. He's making sure that they're perfectly straight before he lets them
have
touch.
You ever seen the show The Odd Couple? You're Oscar Madison, piece of shit.
Fan,
Brody's a fucking dumpster fire. He's a mess. He's a monster. He slices. If you got in your, if whoever ordered shit, if you see that the thing is like the if bag the is misfolded, is the flap is fucking off, and if your shirt was rejammed into the bag and wasn't refolded properly, that was David Brody that sealed that envelope.
Okay, first of all, I was trying to shirts.
I know, but some of the shit got fucking creased backwards.
So what I started doing,
I started screaming at him. I'm like, Brody, every time he's slow. Like,
what are you doing? He was neurotic. He was like a crazy old lady who thinks someone's stealing husband's pants.
People, I want good presentation. I want, you know, okay, you ever buy an Apple product? You know how an Apple product is with the box? Hold on. When you open up a computer or you open an iPhone, how beautiful it is. Have the nice little sticker thing. And then you pull the tab across. And
I still have the plastic on my new dishwasher. I still have the plastic on every record album I ever bought.
Everything is.
You don't have to tell me about keeping it clean. But here's what I started doing, Slices. In front of him, I would put the shirt in the bag and then take the white flap and deliberately fold it at an angle. And there you go. And he was trying to unpeel them, which you can't do. You can't unpeel and open it. It was driving. So then I would toss them onto the pile and he would go, no. And he would put the piles that had to be straight and perfect in the box.
So Brody repacked.
No one's ever going to know that the piles were
Brody
straight.
Brody repacked your merch recklessly. Recklessly.
I mean, you want to talk about recklessly? When you get your merchandise, you will see that my signature is beautiful and perfect. And Scary, some of his letters are like 2 centimeters high. Some of them are 6 centimeters high. He didn't dot the I's. He didn't cross all the T's.
Oh, come on.
Lazy signer. He's lazy.
No, like, I'm not.
Really? You want to apologize to Stacy now?
I put a little smiley face in front of everyone.
Stacy, right? Apologize to Stacy and Bill right now.
What did I do to Stacy and Bill?
You spelled Stacy's name wrong. You had to put a C.
No,
over
I didn't.
Yes, and I had to fix it. I had to make everything darker on Stacy's name. And then you wrote Bill Wood, B-I, lowercase L, big L. I had to make the second L, the first L, a big L. You mess. I'm not even going to get into what you did. I hope they don't want their money back, the one person. What you did. You were so worried about the bags, you couldn't write your name right or people's names right.
I want a nice presentation. When people pay good money for that stuff. When they shows up at their house, I want them to nice. Oh, look how nice. Oh, how cute.
Poor Dez, she wrote personalize it. You wrote Dez. That's what you wrote, Dez. No. That's not personalized. I put a little drawing for Dez because I know what she's into. I thought she'd appreciate that. So you're talking about the bags? Listen, Slices, be honest. You want perfectly straight bags or do you want like your name written properly and a nice signature from us?
It was a nice signature. Oh, come on.
Bill, Stacy, I apologize. I did my best to fix what he did.
I apologize. I apologize for opening my house to this.
As One Republic once said, it's too late to apologize. It's too late. And we got to talk about your toiletries. Can we talk about your toiletries?
Yeah, so that's the question. What are you fucking knocking on what I have?
Hold on. I'm in the bathroom. I'm peeing. To the left of me is the sink with the crack, and then Scary has glass doors on his shower. So you don't have to snoop. You can just look to the left for a second, and he has like 12 bottles of toiletries on his little shelf unit that's in the shower. Can you first tell me, and the slices, what are the 12 bottles? I have three daughters. They don't have that many bottles of shit in their shower.
I have two types of shaving cream.
For your ass?
I have mouthwash in there. Because I like to gargle my mouthwash and spit it right there in the shower.
Water.
No, I don't.
You gargle with shower water.
No, you just take the mouthwash. I live alone, by the way. Let's remind everyone of that.
Yeah.
So I just like grab the bottle. Mm-hmm. All right, swish it around a little bit.
Okay.
And I spit it into the drain because I'm already there.
Why two shaving creams? Your legs.
One is Harry's. One is a nice creamy shaving cream, and then the other one is Barbasol Classic. No, because when I was doing Dr. Fat Loss, you could only use a certain shaving cream. You can't have oil based.
Hit it.
I needed.
You could have said the weight loss. Hit it. So in order to lose weight, you had to use a special shaving cream.
Yeah.
Did he sell you the shaving cream at $10 a can?
No. When you get a grocery list, you also get a product list of approved products.
So he made you buy Barbasol from 1980?
You're supposed to use everything. You're not supposed to use oil. You're not supposed to use oil-based anything on your body.
Because it goes right to your hips.
And no, it gets into your seeps into your skin, and then your body sees it as oil. I'm telling you, it's part of this.
What's Harry's for?
Harry's is what I normally use. That's what
so
I
you
love.
Don't give a shit about the oils the rest of the year.
Yeah, because I'm not on the diet anymore. Dr. Fat Loss is over.
Fuck up your pores the rest of the year.
Yeah.
So what do you do with the Barbasol now? If you're not on the diet, you just leave the Barbasol till next year.
Well, no. Well, I use it occasionally, whatever. But then
now you got three products out of 12. Keep going.
Then I got
kind of weird shampoo is that?
I got a shampoo for Robin.
Is that the Jason?
Jason. J-A-S-O-N. J, and there's two dots over the A. So maybe Jason. I don't know. Shaving cream. I'm sorry. That's
it's Jason.
Jason. Jason.
Because I think a Motley Crue has the two dots over the
I
O.
Also have,
isn't it?
I also have a face wash and a body wash for Robin. Shampoo and conditioner for Robin.
Oh.
Those are all Robin's products.
But why don't you put them on the ledge?
And then I have my shampoo. Giovanni shampoo and I have Giovanni shampoo and I have Giovanni hair gel.
Which TikTok video told you to buy Giovanni shampoo?
It's a Whole Foods product and it's got no parabens in it.
God, because the parabens are the problem.
No thing. Yeah, there's no chemicals and crap.
Is it more expensive than the peanut butter?
Who makes it?
Giovanni shampoo?
I'm just saying.
Hold on. Giovanni shampoo. Giovanni shampoo. Whole
it's
Foods.
A little bit more, maybe a couple dollars more, but it's animal and cruelty free. Doing good things for the environment.
Use the Two Cheek Ultra or the Echo Chic.
I don't know which one it is.
It's on Amazon, it's Whole Foods.
Yeah,
slices. Think of a number of what you pay for your shampoo. $3 for Suave, for Prel. What do you use? Head and Shoulders, $6.
Okay, what are you getting at, Brody?
Giovanni shampoo, $18.68 for a little bottle.
That's
and
nice.
The Ultra Chic Moist. What is this? $30? Oh, it says here. Oh, let me read it. Hold on. Is it green? Is your bottle green with a pump?
No. It's clear.
Giovanni Ultra Moist Shampoo and Conditioner. It's not a commercial.
That must be the 1 gallon size. I don't know what you're talking about.
Avocado and olive oil.
I don't have that. It's not the one I use.
Hold on. Creamy hydration formula enriched with aloe vera, shea butter, botanical extracts. No parabens.
No parabens, no Brody. Parabens. No parabens.
Oh, my God. Thank God. Holy shit. I you know what? I lost an uncle. It said on his headstone, here lies Uncle Steve. The poor guy died of parabens.
Parabens.
Hold on. Google, what are parabens?
Okay.
Hold on. Any group of compounds used as preservatives in pharmaceutical, cosmetic products, and in the food industry. It's a chemical compound.
It's chemicals.
Doesn't mean it's good or bad. It's a preservative.
Well, read
so
further and you'll see it's bad.
Shampoo is not preserved. So how are you staying? How are you keeping your avocados preserved?
and then my deodorant has, it's aluminum free. You're not supposed to have aluminum in your deodorant. You know, that's the one thing. Here's a little tip for you, Slices. Mm-hmm. And you can buy deodorant like regular, like speed stick. But if it's called deodorant, it's pure. Okay. Can you buy $1.99 speed stick? You know, not making any crazy like claims here to buy $20 deodorant.
You're falling for the colored cap on the soda bottle bullshit.
Hold on. If you buy antiperspirant, stop using it right away. You're really putting fucking chemicals under your arms every fucking day that are neurotransmitter disruptors.
Aaron Rodgers, you're destroying yourself.
I'm telling you, antiperspirant is the fucking is the devil.
Is that why you always have sweat pits, sweat stains under your arms?
I use deodorant. Now, charcoal deodorant is supposed to be very good for you, but
yes,
it has to say the word
swear by it.
It has to say the word deodorant.
Deodorant means deodor. It takes the stink out.
Right. But if it says antiperspirant
is antiperspiration.
That's bad for you. You don't want antiperspirant.
Okay,
you want deodorant.
Antiperspirant. Hold on.
By the way, once again, I will clarify, I'm not being bougie. You can buy deodorant that is just deodorant that is not antiperspirant.
Zinc is some people are allergic to zinc. You shouldn't put zinc on your arms if you are. So I look for antiperspirant without zinc. But you're condemning an entire industry that's FDA approved. It's safe.
Listen, the FDA approves a lot of shit that they shouldn't.
Yes, but they're on the take. 47. Oh, they're on the take.
They're on the take from big pharma and big companies.
FDA. I don't want to make this kind of podcast.
I'm just saying.
The FDA is the Federal Drug Administration.
Right.
They don't get paid.
You think that they're always out for your best interests 100% of the time? Okay. You don't think that there's other things that they let slip through the cracks?
I would like to apologize.
Don't apologize.
The Joe Rogan podcast.
That's my feeling, Brody. I feel that way. I'm going to say what I feel.
Scary, you eat the worst shit piled on top of the second worst shit, and you shove it. You point a burrito gun at your mouth.
Brody, just because you're talking louder doesn't mean you're right either.
I'm not talking louder.
You have your own opinion.
I'm at the same volume you are, but you do everything unhealthy, and then you talk about antiperspirant. There's no rhyme or reason.
One of those things. Antiperspirant. I've been my entire life. I just haven't put that shit under my arms.
But you always have pit stains in photographs on the morning show because you don't use antiperspirant.
I use deodorant.
Yes, so you don't smell. The mouthwash thing. I don't think it's working because of the garlic. But honestly,
you are something else.
Antiperspirant is to stop pit stains. Some people don't want pit stains.
Listen to me.
There are plenty of safe antiperspirants.
There's a lot of stuff out there, okay? And you can do your own research,
In your world, the FDA employees, who are people that grew up in small-town America, big-town America, they go to school they study science. They go to work at the FDA. They get a job with good benefits, right?
Right.
And then all of a sudden they go,
right.
this is where the break room is.
Yeah.
This is where you clock out, right?
Yep.
This is where you go. This is where HR is. And this is where the gym is on the 14th floor. Mm-hmm. And this is the phone you pick up when you want to be
Brody.
On the take.
Yep.
Right,
I'm just saying.
And Big Pharma goes, "Hello, is this Mike?"
I'm just saying. Sometimes
Mike, this is BG Pharma. We're calling.
Say what we'll you want to say. Make fun of me all you want, Brody. But in my opinion, this is Scary Jones talking.
Right, not medical, not science.
This is my opinion that sometimes,
yes,
these big government agencies, including the FDA and the CDC and others, WHO, these fucking of them, do not have the interest of the public,
right? At its core,
I don't think that it has it at its best
they
interest.
Put cones of brainwashing on their heads.
I'm saying that's my opinion.
So thousands of people, a lot of times, every week they hire new people.
I just think you got to go.
Why do you want to work here? They go because I want to get bribed. That's why they work there.
You're an analytical.
Every couple of years,
you're a smart guy, David Brody. You're very analytical.
I'm telling you, you can't corrupt an entire industry.
I'm not saying they're corrupt on all shit. But we were told and sold on fucking sugary cereals in the 80s. Things that we fucking grew up on.
Hold on.
We're now learning
said sugary cereals were healthy. Hold on,
those things are approved by our government. We get to eat those things.
Hold on, slices.
They're not banned.
Scary. Now you're conflating two things. First, you're saying that that people are taking bribes, right? But then you're
saying they're taking bribes.
Hold on.
Oh,
then
God.
You're saying before the internet, before HDTV, before cell phones, in the 70s when your bathroom was built in black and brown and yellow, that in the 70s they lacked the science, right? They didn't realize the long-term effects of sugary sodas and whatever, right? That's not the same as bribing people in 2024.
You said bribe. Okay,
you said they're in the pocket of Big Pharma.
Big, we I think.
And who is Big Pharma scared? I think people who go to work, who have families, who go to they're scientists, they're biologists. They work
You're making this bigger than it is. Okay. I equate it to shit that we grew up with in the 70s and 80s and things like that. Well, to me, it's like part of this nutritious breakfast. Remember
and
Captain Crunch?
Say that.
Part of this nutritious.
They don't say that.
What? They don't. They shouldn't have been cereal back then.
If cereal was killing us, they wouldn't keep selling it.
It is.
If it's part of a, if you should have less of it, they say you should have less of it. Absolutely. High fructose corn syrup is not good.
It's right.
But it doesn't kill you immediately.
But it's also allowed to exist. Listen, I'm not trying to say get rid of it. It's in everything. So we're here.
There are people that said that won't use antiperspirant now because you told them to, and then they'll go smoke three packs a day. There's no rhyme or reason. Pick and choose what you want. But please, here's what I'll say.
I think high fructose corn syrup is the main reason, and partially hydrogenated blank is the reason for this country's most of its obesity. That's why. That's my opinion.
Here's what I'll say. Come to the Brooklyn Boys to laugh. Don't come here for science or medical expertise. That's all I'm saying. From either of us. But one of us is rational and uses logic and research.
And his name is Scary Jones.
Yeah, okay, Aaron. With Scary
and Brody. Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes. That it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow.
I just love how you're fucking trying to get me on words like parabens, and you're trying and you're actually making fun of me for using aluminum free products under my arms, and you're making fun of me for it, so I feel attacked and I feel the need to defend myself in that case.
I'm not making fun of you.
That's what you did the last 10 minutes.
I'm making fun of the reason you use those products.
I have a right to defend myself, and that's all I'm doing.
If you were a vegan and you talked about climate change and you talked about electric vehicles, and then you said to me, I'm worried about parabens, I would say to you, it's on brand. I would say, I get it. You're that kind of person. You love nature. You don't want to kill animals. You eat broccoli instead of pork. I get it.
Dude.
But you're somebody, hold on. You're somebody that doesn't care about pollution. You don't care about the environment.
Not true.
You don't care about what food you eat normally. The fact that you care about parabens to me is hilarious because Dr. Per se told you parabens are bad. You're like, oh, yeah, oh, oh, oh,
no, I was doing it long before I met that guy. I was not. But you know what? This
How
world
is your tick to
Brody.
How is your tick to
Brody?
Have you used a tick to inhibitor? Because I watched the news and there's commercials for Sotyktu. Did you know Sotyktu is a tick to inhibitor? Did you know, Scary, that you need your tick to inhibitor?
What the fuck's a tick to?
Yes. Did you know your A1C has to be? Are you worried about your A1C?
No.
Right. Right. You are certainly not worried about anything important.
Brody.
Your tick to needs
this
to be.
This world is full of hypocrisy. Everyone is a hypocrite.
And I call it out.
Everyone's a hypocrite. Do you know how many fucking vegans or whoever else is out there will be like super clean, whatever, and then on the weekends they go and eat someone's ass? That's, you know, in the bedroom. I mean,
okay, hold people, on. Vegans don't eat animals, not because they don't want to eat.
No, but I'm saying, like, people, like, you're talking, this is a parallel. Look at, okay, I'll give you a great example.
So you're saying don't like parabens, but you eat ass?
No, I'm saying people like Taylor Swift. Save the earth. Oh my God. Climate change. This and that. But yet she goes around the country on her fucking private jet.
I'll answer that.
Who can't answer that? Defend your. Brody's a Swifty.
Hold on. No. There's a checklist.
This disclosure, David Brody's a big Swifty, and so is everyone in his family.
I'm going to let you in on something in case you're not on social media. There is a bad analogy checklist that certain people on one part of the spectrum. Political spectrum, they go down the checklist, right? If you say Jerry Seinfeld, they'll go, oh, he dated a 17-year-old. If you mention most comedians, there's a line for everybody that they disagree with politically. So here's what happened. Taylor Swift asked people to go out and vote. She didn't tell them who to vote for. She said,
where was this going?
I'm getting there.
Okay, go ahead.
And then she said, young girls, my fans, you should register to vote. It's important. She didn't tell people who to vote for. Well, people who don't want people to vote or assume that her audience is going to vote Democrat, they come out and they rail against her and they make shit up and they say things, right? So there's one of the catchphrases about Taylor Swift, which you just used, Scary, that shows up on social media all the time. Like it's a gotcha. Like, oh my God, look what I thought of. Why does Taylor Swift care about the environment, but she flies a private jet? I'll explain. Can Taylor Swift go on a regular Delta flight?
Yes, because, she can.
Hold on. No. Hold on a minute. If Taylor Swift goes on a regular Delta flight, your flight will be delayed an hour. There will be mayhem at the airport, and you will be mad at her for getting on your flight and
don't assume these things.
Flight.
Don't assume these things.
Scary. There's a reason why celebrities also, like every sports team, like every famous person on tour,
right.
Except maybe Willie Nelson, every single artist flies private because they have to go from town to town. Hold on, Scary. They have to go from town to town on a certain schedule
right.
that sometimes flights aren't available to. So they have to fly private jets so that they can get there.
And so you've been told, wow, you've been spoon-fed this bullshit, and then you're agreeing to.
Oh, my God, who's to say, Scary, but, it's reality.
Okay, you could say that all you want, that's but the point what, is, so, my whole point so the, was, okay, there's so the hypocrisy. No, private. This is, hold
the
on.
The Mets fly private. Should the Mets not fly private?
What? They got to do what they got to do, but they never said that they were cultural. Climate change and clean activists for a cleaner earth.
Pushing for an entire country and planet to cut down on emissions,
which they should.
It's not affected by a private jet flying from one town to a nearby other town.
So then you know what, Brody? Go buy a Tesla.
First of all, I wouldn't buy a Tesla for many reasons.
Of course not.
But my next car will be electric because it's a Dodge Charger and they're electric now. But you know I don't have a job and I can't afford an electric car right now. Also, I don't scream about the environment.
Right.
However, I do believe we have problems with the environment that are man-made. Just like, okay, you know what? In the 70s, Scary, you know why we stopped using aerosol cans? Because they were destroying the atmosphere.
Okay, all right.
No. But nobody complained then. No one said, I'm not giving up my aerosol cans. I'm going to use Aquanet. They trusted science in the 70s.
Okay, listen to me. Here.
Yeah.
What this?
Can we go back to talking about your bathroom?
Well, the point is, this spiraled out of control because I'm trying to prove a point about hypocrisy and
but that's not hypocrisy.
It is hypocrisy.
No, it's
people
not.
Being you're calling me a hypocrite because
funny that you care about
you find it funny
for the first quarter.
We all do that. We're human. We all do that, where we say one thing and we talk out of one side of our mouth here, and then we do something else over there. Right. It doesn't matter what the topic is. It doesn't matter what the topic is.
I pick on you for it.
We all do it. We all do it. You do it.
Yeah.
You do it. We all do it.
Scary.
In every facet of our life.
I'd like to point out that I use that I try to be healthy and keep the environment clean if I can. But hold on, hold on. And I don't do drugs or smoke, but yet I eat Chinese food 4 days a week.
Right.
You could say that.
You're a hypocrite.
No, I'm someone who loves Chinese food, but.
So then what's wrong with me using certain products because I feel that I'm
the person to talk about parabens. That's all.
But that's your opinion.
But there's nothing else in your life. Nothing that has anything to do with a clean life or a clean environment or anything else. But parabens and
you calling that out made me go on a rant and defend myself for it.
Okay,
I'm because sure it happens has a private jet also, in all of our life. It happens.
Trump has a private jet. Okay. The president has a private jet. Everyone has private jets. That's life. You would have a private jet. I know for a fact you've flown on private jets when you didn't have to. So
okay.
I've never been on a private jet.
And
I'm just saying, don't criticize others for private jets. You've been on a lot of private jets.
I wasn't. I'm just saying. Just saying that there are people. You're using the analogy the wrong way. The analogy was people say one thing and then they do the opposite.
No.
Accuse me of that.
I said parabens seems like an odd thing for you to care about. That's all.
There's a lot of things. I don't like nitrites and nitrates in my prosciutto and my salami. But
yet you go to ball games and eat hot dogs because that are loaded in nitrates.
I've got no choice sometimes. But sometimes if I want a cleaner wiener, I'm going to go for an Applegate Farm. I'm buying it.
You're gonna use Giovanni body soap on your cleaner wiener.
Right. Sometimes I buy things.
And then you're going to open the mail and put the dirty mail stuff all over your wiener.
Take a look at my cabinets for the aluminum foil. You should see the stuff. I have all the stuff that's earth friendly in there and going green.
Earth friendly aluminum foil?
Yeah, and I have the
what is unfriendly about regular aluminum foil?
Well, it's better for the environment. Recycled aluminum foil. It's recycled.
Oh, it's pre-recycled.
It's not Reynolds the way that everybody buys. So I decide to use that. And in my dishwasher, I use those dishwasher pods. I use the earth safe ones, you know, and they're
very nice.
And there's no chemicals. Was not as much chemicals. There's other things in there.
Wait a minute. Scary's using earth free soap in his machine and aluminum foil. That's been, but yet he flies on private jets.
Hate you, David Brody. I hate you. Here, hold on. Let me clean this up. Hold on with a little bit of Febreze.
The Brooklyn Boys Podcast. We will be right back.
Oh, that was hilarious.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I guess slices. I apologize. If this is your first episode, this is not.
This is not. This is not us. But Brody fucking wound me up real good today.
I just hate the cliches.
You can hate all cliches all you want.
Celebrity, and it's like, oh, I got a line. I got a line. I'm gonna use the line.
I'm just saying.
It's not a flex to use the line that you read online and someone else used.
I'm just saying.
Hey, I was speaking of Whole Foods. I went into the Whole Foods near me to do some Amazon returns.
I'm gonna faint. You pay Whole Foods prices?
No, I don't normally. No, I don't. Okay, here's the thing. I only buy things in Whole Foods that I can't get anywhere else. So, like, there's a sauce at Whole Foods called Jar. Mm-hmm. You've had Jar sauce? Jar?
No.
It's the fucking one of the best sauces I've ever had.
I never heard of
there's
it.
There's a spicy and a regular, and they're tall, thin bottles, Jar sauce. Terrific. But you can't get it anywhere else. There are certain brands that only Whole Foods carry. Now, look, Jar may be available in some supermarket where you guys live, but not near me. And I think, I don't even know if it's a Whole Foods. Anyway, the point is I can't get anywhere else locally. So I returned some stuff, my Amazon returns, which they moved. I told you they moved the table. And I was like, you know what? I'm in the mood tonight for a little cheese. Let me go see what kind of cheese they have. Is there anything on sale? Sometimes some of the cheese is on sale.
Wait, in Whole Foods?
Yeah, absolutely.
Already can picture the cheese aisle. Go ahead.
There's a cheese called Lamb Chopper.
Okay.
It's a strange name, but it's like a Gruyere. I think it's a Spanish cheese. I love it. But okay. It's like the sign was like $6 off per quarter ounce or something.
That sounds like a bargain to me.
That means, oh my God, how much is it for a quarter ounce if it's $6 off? Like, it's really expensive. Anyway, so I'm looking at the cheese and the guy behind the counter, not a cheese expert, he says, oh, I see you're looking at the Gruyere. Would you like some Gruyere? Would you like to sample that? So I said, no, I'm quite familiar with Gruyere. I'm a big fan of Swiss cheeses. And he says, oh no, it's not a Swiss cheese. It's from Switzerland.
Wait, what? It's not a Swiss cheese. It's from Switzerland.
I said, I'm sorry, what? He said, no, it's not a Swiss cheese. It's from Switzerland. I said, sir, do you know that anything from Switzerland is referred to as being Swiss? Like being from America is American?
Yeah. Like I brought Swiss chocolate from Lauterac home to my family for Easter.
Gruyere is a cousin of Swiss cheese, but all cheese from Switzerland is Swiss.
I think what he thought
cheese. He said, I didn't know that Swiss meant from Switzerland because Switzerland doesn't have any S's in the middle of it. It's not Switzerland. It's Swiss with a TZ. He said that to me. He goes, oh, then shouldn't it be Switzerland? Okay. I said to myself, not to him, sir, you should not be working in the cheese department.
He didn't know that. He never equated Swiss cheese, the classic Swiss cheese with the holes in it. He never equated that from being from Switzerland.
He never equated the word Swiss.
Yeah.
To mean Switzerland.
What, like Swiss Miss? Hot chocolate?
Yeah. I brought a package of Swiss Miss on my honeymoon. We went to Switzerland on our honeymoon just so I could have Swiss Miss in Switzerland.
In Switzerland. How'd that
go? I brought Hawaiian Punch to Hawaii. I do stuff like that. I also brought yodels. There's a picture of me eating yodels in Switzerland because people yodel there. Mm. Not that they make yodels there.
All right. Well,
I do fun stuff.
You do.
Anyway, remember the guy last week? I said he worked at the restaurant, didn't know what a banquette is?
Yeah.
He's been outdone by the cheese guy that didn't know that Swiss cheese was from Switzerland.
Okay. Listen, it happens. It happens. Sometimes you don't put two and two together.
Oh, I give you one more story of someone not putting two and two together?
Yeah. Go ahead, Brody.
What are you doing? Looking at your phone?
Yeah, I got a text about my trip to Amsterdam, but go ahead.
I'm sorry, what?
I'm planning a trip to Amsterdam with my Brooklyn boys.
What's the name of this podcast?
My other Brooklyn boys. The other Brooklyn boys. Yeah, not you. But continue.
If you had to put your Brooklyn boys on one side of a scale, right? And then like the teeter-totter type scale?
Yeah.
And then your Brooklyn boys from this podcast on the other side, I have a feeling that the other side would go down a lot. It would just plummet.
Like it would. So you're saying that would weigh way more?
Yeah, I'm saying that your other Brooklyn boys is a lot more.
Seeing that two of my six Brooklyn boy friends.
Is Black Les going and Indian Matt?
No, those are my Hoboken friends.
Tall Darren?
Nope. All
Brian,
the people.
Ronnie? Who's going?
Hold on. Ronnie. So, hold on.
T-shirt guy?
No, let me explain. Anyone that you've heard on this podcast that we've talked about that I've given a name to, you know, all my friends, Indy and Matt and everybody, Jetski Brian, those are my Hoboken friends. But
yeah, but on the Toilet Bowl Brian is Brooklyn friend.
He's Toilet Brian is a Brooklyn Toilet friend, Brian. And Bald Freak Ronnie also a Brooklyn friend.
And so what about Danny Connections?
No, Danny not, Connections is not. Brooklyn. No.
What about T-shirt guy?
T-shirt who?
The guy had his own line of T-shirts.
Oh, Jay Ernest.
Yeah, Jay.
Yeah,
T-shirt
he's from Brooklyn. Yeah,
but he's got a nickname.
But my core Brooklyn friends are people that I met in the seventh grade in middle school and even beyond, a first grade. I have Paul and Anthony I know since the first grade. Mm-hmm. These guys, I don't really talk about them on the podcast because they never really come up.
Those are the guys that go by Dude and Dude, right?
They're all married with kids in other cities. Paul lives in Boston.
Wait a
Anthony,
minute, they're married and their kids live in other cities?
No, they're married with kids and they live in other cities with their families and in Boston and Pennsylvania. And my boy Jay Smoller, Jay's from Brooklyn. He still lives in Brooklyn. And Bald Freak Ronnie. That's the crew. And, and Lloyd. And so the five, six of us are a crew. We still are. We know each other since first grade, even mostly since middle school. All of us since the seventh grade at least.
Yeah.
So we go on trips. So this year we're going to, you know, we do the baseball stadium tour. I've talked about that. Every year we go to different baseball.
Now you're going to red light districts tours.
Well, we're going to Amsterdam. And
but for the record, I played the Van Halen song Amsterdam in Amsterdam.
You did that?
I did. Yes,
well,
I did.
So because we're all turning.
And I got one more. I played the Spinal Tap song Stonehenge when I was at Stonehenge.
That's fucking awesome. I think that one tops all of them.
Thank you very much.
Well,
it's 11 inches. It's supposed to be 11 feet.
I will say so. Because we're all turning 50 this year, because we're all in the same grade, we only met each other. We're having a little problem here. We're going to Amsterdam, and as part of our 50th birthday trip, they're going on to Prague after
that. One of my all-time favorite cities.
Prague? Or Amsterdam?
No.
Amsterdam.
Well, my daughter will be in Prague next week.
Well, I'm not going to Prague because I don't have that kind of time that they have. But I'm going to Amsterdam with them, and we're trying to plan activities and things to do. Now, none of us have been to Amsterdam. So when you think Amsterdam, you think a lot of weed smoking, which used to be a big deal because it was illegal everywhere, right? But now it's legal in so many places, it's not a big deal anymore. You think of the red light district, right? Which is like the old school where
it's sex in the windows when you walk by.
So women are in these windows and they put the red light on. That means they're available for sale, and apparently it's legal over there, right? All that stuff. But apparently that's just a part of their history. That's not really like, I don't know of anybody.
You have naked ladies dancing on the one street, the red light district.
Right.
And then you have the Anne Frank house, which you probably won't go to.
Well, hold on. That's part of the story here. So the red light district, something you want to just see. You go down the street, you take some pictures, right? I guess. I don't know.
No, you do not take pictures. They beat your brains in.
Okay, you don't take pictures.
Take pictures.
Okay, but it's...
No, but you know what a lot of people do? Because it's on the canal.
And by the way, it's something that's visual. At this point, it's just something you're looking at, like you're looking at a piece of history, right? Like,
but here's the thing.
Yeah, people don't actually like say, I want her, and they take her out of the window, right? That's not... Well,
No. You actually, they buzz the door open and you go in and you fuck people in the window.
No, that's not where we're going with this because that's not what happens. All right. Well,
anyway, the point is you can't take pictures. So what people do, there's a canal in the middle of the street and you walk on both sides of the canal and there's bridges every, couple hundred feet. They go up on the bridges and take pictures of each other like, let me take your picture on the bridge. But actually they're taking pictures of the red light district.
Okay,
you have to be clever about it.
Okay, that's cool. I guess a workaround. But the point is here, we want to see what they're known for, right? And that is what they're known for. And the Anne Frank house.
Stroopwafels.
Well, Jason said to me today, the thread is going. Chat, the group chat's active.
Scary's not going to want to ride a bicycle.
Jason informs all of us the Anne Frank house is sold out. Do we have a hookup? So now I'm looking for
Scary Jones from Elvis Duran. Can I get it to the Anne Frank
house? I can't get it to the Anne Frank house. For the entire time that we're there, the fucking Anne Frank house is sold out. So I'm like, how is it sold out? They're like, apparently they can only let a certain amount of people, and it's the most popular attraction.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't know, Diary of Anne Frank, she was taken from that house. She wrote her diary, the diary in that house.
Yeah.
Famous house. I want to go see it. Now I can't get in. You cannot deny me entry. So I need a guy. Does anyone know a guy in Amsterdam that can hook me and my friends up with the Anne Frank House tour? I find it kind of funny that here I am talking, begging to get into an attraction from the 1800s.
The only reason that house is famous is it used to be very easy to get into.
Right, because they broke into the house.
They broke into the house, yeah.
And she got kidnapped from her house, right?
Well, taken and killed, yeah.
Right. So I want to see this place because it's got a lot of history here. So this is like a thing. So now I can't fucking get in. And you know what they did book in its place? They booked...
A boat ride?
No, they're having... The National Tulip Festival is going on.
Oh, the Holland Tulips. That's awesome.
So we're going to go tiptoe through the tulips.
Tiptoe through the tulips.
No, we're going to take rent bikes, bicycles to the tulips.
You know what I just realized?
What's that?
Whether you go to the red light district or the flower thing, you're going to see tulips.
David Brody, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. That one needs a little space. Hold on.
Here's what I'll say to you.
I need space.
As a Jewish person, the Anne Frank House has a lot more significance when you see the etchings on the wall and you understand what it was like to hide a family behind the walls.
Right.
What it was like to live in fear of being discovered. I'm not saying it's not a good place to go for everyone. I'm saying it's a little more difficult and important to see
mm-hmm.
when you had family live through that and you had ancestors live through that. And so as much as I'd say, I'm sorry you're not going and I'd like you to get a hookup and a velvet rope opened up for you, I don't think it's going to have the impact on you. I mean, it might, but you're not the impacted type. Which I don't
right,
say is
but
an insult.
At the same time, I'm a tourist who wants to see the attractions yeah. and the important things because they're yeah. important for a reason. So yeah. So we did want to go.
You should go. I'm saying you should go. I'm saying if you don't get to. And by the way,
I'm going
to
find a way in.
The tickets are non-refundable, and so what we found when we went, my wife and I went on when we went on the trip to Iceland
mm-hmm.
With the morning show, and we ended up in Amsterdam, is because you can't refund the tickets. There are people outside that will sell tickets outside.
All right. So
like if they have to cancel, you might be able to go. The only thing is the tours are like every 15 minutes. So you don't, whenever you go, there may or may not be people selling tickets.
All right. Well, all hope is not lost. We're going to try and get
You know, there's a StubHub there. You know,
of
there's
course.
Somebody selling tickets.
Someone's selling them on the black market, guaranteed.
Yo, check it out. Check it out. I've got tickets to Anne Frank. Check it out.
Yeah, you'll see that. Yeah. Well, when I went to Paris, me and Robin, we were like, Robin and I.
Yep.
We got to the Louvre and the line to get in was an hour long and we had someone off to the side like, dude, private tours of the Louvre right here.
Oh, the private tour guy scam.
No, not a scam. The woman took us. She knew people. That's a scamboni. The scamboni is
we got scammed. They're in cahoots. Puerto Rico?
They're in cahoots with the security guards because they're on the take. So so we got charged crazy money to get to the Louvre. This woman, she took Robin and I through the Louvre. We cut the fucking line. People were giving us dirty looks. I'm like, what the? And I said, where are we going? And the woman was like, we got this. Don't worry. We're going to go on this line right here. I'm like, this is not even a line. And we went right to the front. They nodded at her. She nodded at them. They swiped our tickets. And we went in. And she showed us the Louvre. It was like the Louvre for dummies. It was like the Cliff Notes Louvre. The Cliff Notes Louvre. Hold on. Because we went, she showed us all the important shit. And I'm like,
well,
this is great.
Because you know, most of those guys, the private tours. I remember we went on some tour. Yeah. We were on a party plane? It was we were on a cruise. I forget where it was. You know, and the cars are all parked off the side of the ship. Like, we'll give you, I'm a local. I'll give you a private tour. And you take you to one of the finest restaurants on the beach, right? So they take you, they drive you around like where anyone could drive you, and they take you to like a shack on the beach where they know everybody there. Hey, right? Because they're all in on it. They bring a carload of people to a shack where you eat terrible conch fish.
Everyone's on the take. They're getting kickbacked. Everyone's getting kickbacked.
Don't take
private
tours.
No, it saved me so much time. That you kidding me? The whole day.
You got lucky, but most of these like, whole carload for 40. If you take the professional one, it's $30 a piece. I'll save you money. And then they take you to a shit place.
Dude, when I showed up at the tour of Naples and we wanted to go into the Blue Grotto, a guy, an Italian guy's like, yo, I got you over here. Well, in his Italian accent, not that. That's a Brooklyn Italian. Anyway.
Yeah. Yo, and, check it, man.
So we jumped into his boat. He says, I know everybody. We got the trip. Oh. So we took the speedboat all the way to the gondolas. He transferred me into a gondola with a guy who knew everybody. He fucking rode so fast up to the Blue Grotto, and they were all screaming Italians, cursing at him, being like, la, 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 la. And
he cut the line.
He cut the fucking line. My gondola guy, in cahoots with my speedboat guy, cut the fucking line. There was like an hour wait to get into the grotto where people are like up and down on these rickety boats, like getting seasick, sitting there in the middle of nowhere, and he's crushing it. This guy cut through the fucking lane, man. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, are we okay? Are we going to get hurt? Is this bad? And the guy goes, don't worry about it. These people.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Yeah.
We cut off everybody. Dude, we were in and out of the grotto in about fucking 15 minutes. I couldn't believe it. And I was back on the speedboat with my speedboat guy. Did I pay a lot of money for it? Yes.
See, that's the thing.
But I'm a man. Hold on. I'm a man of convenience.
Yes, you are.
I got through. I got in. I got from the port of Naples to the grotto, in the grotto, my pictures, out of the grotto, and back to the port of Naples within an hour. No one does that.
I need a gondola guy at Disney. I need someone at Disney World to be like, yo, I know a guy. Give me $7. I'll get you to the front.
Right.
If I could just like cut the line at Space Mountain every time, I would do it.
Fast track, fast pass. It's no different, Brody. It's no different. Pay for the convenience. You're on vacation.
I pay for the fast track. The problem with fast track is you can only do one per hour.
Yeah.
And you have to come back at a certain time.
That's Disney. Yeah.
I went once when I was, I don't know, I was 18 or 19, 17, 18 or 19, something like that. And I had gone with my, with some friends and my parents and their friends, whatever. But it rained that day. And the forecast was rain all day. Mm. And we went anyway. And there was no one online. And they've redone Space Mountain since then. But you used to be able to get on Space Mountain, get off, walk through the tunnel area, and go right to the other side and get on again. Like, it was a much shorter way to go on. So we went on like 15 times in a row. Loop, 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 loop. Can't do that anymore. They ruined everything.
Yeah. Well.
But you got to go. Like, but Fast Pass is 1 hour.
Yeah.
So it only I want a guy to go, I got a Space Mountain hookup. I got to hook up. Come with me through this doorway. We'll get you into the back.
I know for a fact that there are Disney VIP excursions that you could pay through the fucking nose for.
Yes, but those are the kind of people that sit behind home plate. Yes.
Though you can get in and out of the park and get past everything.
Yes, you also get the underground tour.
Yeah.
You get to see all the you get to see everything.
I hear it's fucking buku bucks, though. It's crazy.
It's so buku bougie, scary, can't afford it.
So anyway, my headline here is, I'm going to Amsterdam to ride a bicycle through the tulips. I can't believe this is what my vacation is.
I can't believe you're riding a bicycle. You're going to try to get a motorized one. You know it.
Of course I am.
When you go to Amsterdam, first of all, the bikes fly around like maniacs. Uh-huh. But they know what they're doing. The cars weave in and out of the bikes. The bikes weave in and out of the cars. When you're in the car, you think you're going to hit a bike all the time. You don't. And all the cars are like little stubby smart cars.
Yep.
Because the parking spaces are all like pull in diagonal, like a side street, but like in a mall where you pull in, because the cars are like 11 feet long. It's a beautiful town. Oh my God. The most beautiful town I've ever been in.
All right.
Except for New York City, by the way.
I can't wait. I'm excited for Amsterdam. All right.
And I don't even know what I was talking about that you interrupted me with Amsterdam.
Well, that's the question. There was something that you were talking about, and then you started interrogating me about why you weren't invited to Amsterdam. Because
no, I don't. I know
because
why
my
I wasn't
real
invited.
Brooklyn boys are coming to Amsterdam with me.
See, that's not called for. That's not.
And
that's before, not nice
just
all.
Ahead of that, I'm kicking off my for the first three nights. I'm going to Marbella, which is the south of Spain, which is not Mallorca, but it's another island.
Very nice.
Yeah, so I'm going to see Tall Darren there. Tall Darren.
Is his head going to be above the crowd that you'll spot him?
Tall Darren has a house there, and he's inving me to it for three nights. I'm like, rent free? Fuck that.
Are you going to have sex in his bed with Robin?
You know what? I may return the favor.
Even that shit out. With Brody
and Scary. Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes. That it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots. the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Every family has skeletons in their closet. Mine certainly does. Ones that go back 100 years and reach thousands of miles back to our hometown in Sicily. Ever since I can remember, my relatives told the story of my great-great-grandmother who was killed by the mafia. I'm Joe Piazza, and in my new podcast, I'm taking on a generational vendetta, visiting the scene of the crime, confronting mafia experts, tracking down Italian officials, and even consulting mediums to set the record straight on my great-great-grandmother's mysterious disappearance. And in between the fact-finding missions, I'll be drinking a lot of wine and eating all of the pasta. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, well, well. Oh, man, how time flies. You had some stuff you wanted to get off your chest, Brody. Do you remember what they were?
Well, let me tell you about a couple of people on TikTok. You know, in the For You page, you scroll and there's people doing lives. And sometimes you stop on the live. So I stopped on this one guy. He was singing. It's a song by 21 Savage, I guess. And he's like, red rum, red rum, red rum, red rum.
Yeah.
I've never heard the song. So he's like, he's singing Red Rum over and over again. He's like, I love this song. I don't even know what the hell it means, but I'm loving it. You know where the word Red Rum comes from, Scary?
It comes from a horror film, Red Rum, which is murder backwards.
That's correct. It's from The Shining with Jack Nicholson.
They look in the mirror and they say Red Rum three times backwards. No,
it's not the Bloody Mary thing.
The
Red Rum is written on the wall.
Oh, Red
but
Rum.
But when they see it in a mirror, they realize that he's writing murder in blood.
Right.
But this person is singing the song and like, I don't even know what this song means. And then even all the comments in the live were like, it means murder, dumbass. Why do you not know what Red Rum means? And by the way, that's not me calling people who don't know that a dumbass. I'm just like, you're singing the song. You'd think you're like, well, I wonder what Red Rum is. Anyway, so I kept scrolling and I find this girl is she's drinking, I don't know. It looks like she's drinking some kind of coffee drink or a tea drink. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I stopped and I'm listening to what she's saying. And she's like, oh, I love matcha. Matcha is my favorite. Is it coffee or tea? Anybody know?
Matcha?
Not you, Scary. Okay. That's what she said.
Wow.
It's her favorite drink.
It's her favorite.
But doesn't know if it's coffee or tea.
I could see that.
Really?
I mean, it's a tea, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay. What about kombucha? Was that a tea?
I don't know what kombucha is. I just know it's one of those things that vegans drink.
So, all right. So... She didn't know.
Kombucha is a fruit.
Okay.
Well, yeah, she didn't know. Yeah, I just found it odd that it's your favorite drink, but you don't know if it's a coffee or tea.
That's okay. Yeah. Listen, a group could be your favorite group, but you don't know their music.
Who has a favorite group and doesn't know their music?
Everyone who calls into the morning show.
No, their favorite song, but they don't know who the band is what you mean.
Right.
If I tell you my favorite band is Kiss, I know the songs. That's not what you meant.
Well, the favorite. No, some people they don't know. They just know the hits, and they don't know their deep catalog.
Right, but you said that's their favorite band, and they don't know the music.
Yeah, their favorite group.
You mean their favorite songs? They don't know the artist, is what you probably.
No, I meant what I said.
So you think they call up? They go, "Oh my god, I love Harry Styles. I just don't know any of the songs."
Well, they know watermelon sugar and As It Was and the stuff he did with One Direction, the hits, and that's it. There are people out there that will say, they lay claim to be, listen, I said I love Taylor Swift. I went to the concert.
You did?
I didn't know half the music. I knew the hits.
You're not a fan, but Taylor Swift isn't your favorite artist. You said there are people who, they don't know the songs of their favorite artist.
Well, because people, you throw that term around like very
I'll tell you the term, the term people throw around. I'm your number one fan. How could you possibly be?
Right.
And how would you know if you were or you weren't?
Yeah, but people, what I'm getting at.
I'm your biggest fan. No, you're probably not. Like everyone who calls sports radio stations, I'm a diehard Mets fan.
Right.
But no, everyone's a diehard fan.
You can't name all the players. I can't.
No, but it's not that they go, I'm a diehard fan.
I am a diehard fan, but I don't know.
Everybody's a diehard fan. That's the whole point of being a fan. You're like, right. Nobody calls a radio station to go, I'm sort of a fan.
That's my analogy. That's my favorite group. It's my favorite band. But I mean, you probably don't know. Some people don't know everything from a group.
Well, some people change favorite bands every hit. Like every 2 months, they get a new favorite.
Yeah. All right.
Speaking of favorites, there's, I'm not going to say which one it is, but there's a couple of Facebook pages that are New Jersey Facebook pages for pizza. And you post on it you post pictures of the pizza you had and like, oh, I just stopped off at Tony's on 13th Street down the shore. And then they put a picture up and everybody makes fun of it. They'll rip it. They'll go, the crust looks like shit. That looks like terrible. Or some people go, that's the best place in the Jersey Shore. Everyone gives their opinion. Usually, if it's a bad slice of pizza, they rip it. So somebody posted a picture and the pizza's scary. It was like 6 inches of crust. Like the sauce and cheese didn't come anywhere near the edges. It looked like bad Chuck E. Cheese pizza. It looked like bad frozen pizza. So people were like, you know, what birthday party was that pizza from? And it's from a place in South Jersey or the Jersey Shore area. Mm-hmm. And I don't never heard of the place. I don't live on the Jersey Shore. I don't go down there very often. So I said, just to say how bad it looked, I said, how fast was the conveyor belt that thing was made on? Because conveyor belt pizza is like Domino's.
Yeah.
And shit.
Yeah.
Awful. So the actual business, the owner of the business replies to me and says, it's 1 mile faster than your mother.
I love now, it.
I don't know what that means exactly.
I know, but it's very funny.
He's like, right.
One mile faster than your mother.
So I said, maybe spend more time instead of insulting people, making better looking pizza.
Wow.
And then he went on and then he said, we've been in business since 19, blah, 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 and people love our pizza. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, but you can't really talk because you haven't been to the Mecca of pizza, New Haven.
Yeah. Scary. Here's what I'm going to do. Hold on. I have a picture. I'm going to send you right now. Hold on. I'm going to send you a picture of this pizza right now. And you tell me.
I could tell by looking.
Yeah, just by looking, you tell me what this pizza looks like. And whether or not I should call this person, this company, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to call them out.
I'll give you my honest assessment.
On a scale of 1 to 10, and also tell me if you think it was cooked on a conveyor belt. You look at that pizza, you tell me that's Jersey Shore's best pizza. People love it. They've been in business for 70 years. Look at that pizza. I'm going to post a picture of this pizza with no name on Instagram, and you tell me if it looks like good pizza.
It looks okay. It looks. Here's the best part. It does.
Yeah.
It does look like conveyor belt pizza.
Thank you.
But
does that, crust look like you get it in high school?
That's okay. The crust is what's really throwing me here because I'm trying to zoom in on the crust.
Look at the slice on the top. The top slice.
Yeah.
It's missing cheese. It looks like it's missing like Pennsylvania of cheese.
It looks
the shape of Pennsylvania.
Yeah, the cheese.
Montana. That's Montana cheese missing.
Like, could you spare some fucking cheese? Like, there's
sauce.
There's nothing.
There's no sauce.
Yeah.
And this is like a visual.
It's a little chintzy. But
Chintzy.
I could see though. If
would
I'm
you
looking,
look at that and think I got to drive 30 minutes, an hour and a half to Jersey Shore, whatever, to get that pizza? And am I wrong to say it looks like it was on a conveyor belt?
You're not wrong. It is all in the taste and the texture.
But how about
right?
that the owner of the pizza place wrote back is like
now, what if you get down there and you pick up the slice and then you you bite into it and you get that crispy, crunchy crust that we love. And then the sauce is nice and sweet.
What little sauce is on that block of bread may be delicious.
It may be.
The cheese may be the freshest hand shredded mozzarella cheese ever put on pizza. But the picture, it looks like shit.
The picture does make it.
But imagine that the owner is so petty, he's coming on insulting like your mother, especially your mother.
It does not look like there's a lot of ingredients on there. I mean,
no.
It looks like
bread, somebody sneezed sauce,
and just cheese.
The cheese fell a little bit off the shelf.
The chintzy cheese.
Chintzy cheese. So I'm going to post that on Instagram. But
doesn't look like any more love went into that. Now, maybe they take hours to make their sauce, Brody. Maybe there's some things in their sauce that are great. Maybe.
Well, put the sauce on the pizza then.
But there's clearly no other ingredients on there. It's a simpleton's slice, for sure.
And my point is, the fact that they had to defend themselves on a pizza fan page on Facebook and go after people for putting their pizza down.
By the way, I never heard of this place.
Yeah, he attacked every single person.
Why don't you ask the slices? Let's give the name. Let's throw it out there.
No, because this guy could be like a hitman. I don't want him coming to kill me.
Where's this from? Oh, I see where it is. By the way, Google rating, 4.2. It's not great pizza.
Pull up Yelp.
It's average at best.
I know you hate Yelp. Pull up the Yelp review.
Well, wait a second, though. I'll say this.
What? Yeah.
If you look at the actual building and the place that it's in.
It looks like a quality place.
It looks like one of those places that have been there for like 80 years. Like, 100%. Oh my God. It's got to be. Okay. I'll give them this. If I was driving by this place in said city at the Jersey Shore, which I've never seen before, because maybe I'll get.
And by the way, it's not a pizza place. It's a place with grill in the name.
Yeah. And it's got spaghetti in there and other things. Anyway, if I pass by it, I would be compelled to try it just because of the storefront. It looks old school. It looks like an old school dive that's been weathered through the war. And it looks like it's been there since the 50s. Okay,
what does the pizza look like?
Okay, so.
It's not on Yelp. But nobody on Yelp reviewed it, or they must have demanded they get their reviews taken down.
I'll tell you this. It's got a 4.2 with 2,000 reviews. So what that tells me is it's been there forever.
Yeah.
4.2 is one of those things that are, in my mind, that's overrated. Or if it's a place that's
Go to the bad reviews and tell me give me one bad review. Go to lowest and tell me what it says.
Are you there?
I'm here. Are you there, Margaret? It's me.
No,
God.
Are you?
What?
No, that's the Diary of Anne Frank.
No.
Sorry. The lowest. Let's go to lowest rated pizza. Terrible size, large pizza, more like personal pan. Okay, they're arguing over that. How does a pizza place entirely forget about putting pizza sauce on an entire pizza?
Thank you.
Want to find out? This place is for you. This is the place for you. If you're looking for the saddest and most driest pizza you've ever had in your life, look no further. This is your place. Literally, the worst pizza I've ever had in my life. Dry, disgusting, unedible.
Well, dry. Well, here's one here.
Inedible.
Trash, it's inedible. Overpriced trash. Just order Domino's or Papa John's. Save yourself money. Pizza like this shouldn't exist in New Jersey. Elio's might be equal in quality and taste. You should be embarrassed. Shouldn't even be in business.
Gross.
I should have put their pizza where? On conveyor belts.
Gross. I should have bought frozen pizza. No salt. This is terrible service. All right.
Here's what the owner wrote to the guy.
This place is an embarrassment to the term Italian food. It was absolutely flavorless. I could also taste. All I could taste was canned tomatoes and pasta. Didn't even have the common decency to send Parmesan, salt, or whatever. Anyway, here's my problem with a place like this. It happens to be in a popular city on a very popular street, because I know the street. So it's probably living off of its visibility and people going there. Okay. And it's got the old signs, and it's been there for.
Right.
So you know what? Well, you get a gold star. Hold on. You get a gold star for you and your family for being in business all these years. I'm sure you're an upstanding, cool family. But your product is not great. It's subpar. And the 4.2 with the 2,000 reviews on Google tells me that. I told you that in the previous episode.
Here's one more review.
If this was a 4.5 and above with 2,000 reviews, I would go there sight unseen, and I probably, it's probably a better product. It's a good product.
Okay, so this person wrote, I bought a pepperoni pizza, butterfly shrimp, and an Italian wrap, blah, blah, from this place. The pizza was dry, flat, sauceless, and tasteless. Here it is, the important part. The shrimp were fried so hard that you could only taste the fried hard breading.
Yeah.
First of all, don't put fried shrimp on a pizza, okay? So she writes other shit, right? Here's the owner commenting. We can understand you are upset. Sometimes we do overcook the shrimp. Now, anything after that, we would have remade it. We would have done it. But sometimes we overcook the
shrimp. That's an admission that your shit is subpar.
Yeah, here's an idea.
Don't overcook the shrimp.
You know you overcook it. So don't overcook it. Yeah, sometimes we burn the shit that we're charging you for on your pizza. But let us know next time so you can wait another hour for your pizza to be made.
Yeah.
And this time we won't burn the shrimp. My mother could not run you a conveyor belt if she were alive today.
By the way, I could name three pizza spots in that same city that are better than that. And I just off the top of my head, but I'm not going to do that.
And one of them doesn't even sell pizza.
yeah. But anyway,
you know what?
Google ratings. Google ratings to the rescue again, man. I'm telling you, Google ratings is the truth. As long as it's over 500 reviews.
You know what it says here? 2 stars. Their pizza had parabens in it.
Go fuck yourself, Dave. You're a real douchebag. Go reflect on your thoughts and your comments.
I'm faster than Brooklyn, your mother's a douchebag. You know what that means.
Boys from Brooklyn! Brooklyn! The boys from Brooklyn!
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Across Generations, where the voices of Black women unite. I'm your host, Tiffany Cross.
Tiffany Cross.
Join me and be a part of sisterhood, friendship, wisdom, and laughter. We gather a seasoned elder, myself as the middle generation, and a vibrant young soul for engaging intergenerational conversations. Prepare to engage or hear perspectives that literally no one else has had. Listen to a Cross Generations podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. Join late night legend Jon Stewart and the best news team for today's biggest headlines, exclusive extended interviews, and more. Now this is a second term we can all get behind. Listen to The Daily Show Ears Edition on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.